Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home. This hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
If we were in this quarterback hunt, and apparently we're not, if we were...
Unless it's the greatest snow job of all time.
Well, and then guess what? They pulled the wool over our eyes. All right, but if we were, how much more excited would you be? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching Stroud throw, and I'm going, man, you know what? I mean, the last 3 years we've had top 10 picks, and we have decided to not go this route.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're not going to go that route this year either.
Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get back into that conversation. What he said and what he meant were two different things. That's on the way in less than 10 minutes. You want to win a pair of tickets to go see Offspring with Simple Plan and Sum 41. Let the Bad Times Roll Tour. It's happening at Lakewood Amphitheater August 15th. We've got tickets for you. Not right now, but they're on the way. Stay tuned. We'll give you a chance to win a pair. Tickets go on sale Friday, March 24th at LiveNation.com. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley is here. And, Connor, lots going on with the dogs, man. Appreciate you stopping by as always. Check out Connor Riley at K. Connor Riley and, of course, at Dog Nation. I like your piece today about Carson Beck, Brock Vandergriff, Gunnar Stockton. I mean, do we know anything more at this point than we did maybe a week or so ago? Because as we get closer and closer to G-Day, the spring game, everybody's going to be wondering who's in front, who's got the lead, how did this competition really being looked at? And I think, you know, as we search for answers, Connor, you kind of hit on this. Like, all three quarterbacks are seen as viable replacements for Stetson Bennett. Who is the guy, though? I don't know if anybody knows right now.
Yeah, I think we still have to regard Carson Beck as the favorite. Nothing has happened to the point where I would be dissuaded from saying that. I think, you know, his experience, what he was able to do with this offense last year, I think showed that he has taken the steps forward. Now, the big thing with Carson, and we've seen this with him before, you know, Georgia's going to want him to go out there and win the job and maintain and be the starting quarterback. In the offseason of 2021, they wanted him to go out there and win the backup quarterback job, and he ended up, you know, sort of fumbling that away and losing it to Stetson Bennett. And then lo and behold, Stetson Bennett passes him on the depth chart and then goes on to win two straight national championships. There's maybe a sliding doors moment where Carson Beck wins that backup job in 2021. And maybe, you know, he's off to the NFL now because we've seen what he can do for two seasons. And so they want to see Carson continue to make the right mental steps and be consistent each and every practice in the run-up to being ultimately the starting quarterback. They're going to give Brock Vandergriff opportunities to win that job as well. And Gunnar Stockton is a guy, maybe not necessarily this year, but they have a lot of long-term belief in what he's ultimately going to be for this program. So they've only had four practices to this point, and so there obviously hasn't been a ton of separation. And I think G-Day will be a big marker for that. They'll have, I believe, two scrimmages over the course of spring practice, and then obviously scrimmages in the fall that are going to go a long way in determining who ultimately does end up replacing Stetson Bennett.
It's our man from Dog Nation, Connor Riley, K. Connor Riley on Twitter, seeing all the stuff, the stories are breaking every day. Carl and I were talking yesterday, Dog Nation talking about the new assistants and, you know, whatever they're called, quality control guys, but more brain power. Streeter coming in from Clemson, brought in a coach from Texas A&M, Carl, we talked about yesterday. So I guess Bobo will have plenty of help, just like I guess you could argue that Todd Monken had.
Yeah, you know, Georgia lost a good amount of analysts off of their coaching roster last year. And while Todd Monken was the only on-field assistant to leave, you know, you've Buster Faulkner now, the Georgia Tech offensive coordinator. Mike Bobo goes from analyst offensive coordinator at Georgia, and in bringing in Streeter and Daryl Dickey from Texas A&M, you know, they both sort of, I think, fit the roles that you saw Faulkner and Bobo have last year. I think Streeter is a guy who's got a lot of, who has a long reputation of working with quarterbacks, being a strong recruiter, a guy that I think is going to help this program in the way Faulkner worked with Stetson Bennett in some off-the-field roles last year. And then Daryl Dickey. Dickey's been a guy who, he's been an offensive coordinator across 5 decades. And while he wasn't calling plays at Texas A&M, and I think kind of got scapegoated for Jimbo Fisher's struggles last year, he's a guy with that just kind of institutional football knowledge, I think, is going to be able to come in, provide a fresh set of eyes on how you look at things and how you go about scheming things up in a role that Mike Bobo had with this team last year. And so it's more of the same for what Kirby Smart wants from his offensive analysts, and sort of especially in that room where the quarterback is the most important position in football right now, and having all those assets to help those guys, I think, is going to see it play out on the field when we roll around to the fall Saturdays.
Connor, there's one guy that I don't need to see anything from this spring. That's Brock Bowers. What is his practice schedule? Are they going to force him to practice? Are they going to force him to be out there? Listen, I don't want to be that guy and trying to say, hey, you know, I don't want to risk the injury. It's a part of football. But I need Brock Bowers when the season rolls around, and I already know what he can do. I don't think he should be even participating.
Yeah, this is one of the stories that fascinates me. I'm hoping to at least tell it at some point over the offseason or maybe before the season starts. You know, Brock Bowers, you know, quite frankly, doesn't need to play another down of college football. He's already proven himself as, I think, you know, an elite prospect, a guy that is going to be a Saturday or a Sunday player, rather. Gives off George Kittle vibes. He talked a little bit about that last night. But because he's wired the way that he is, like, he's still so focused on getting better and making improvements. You know, Kamari Lassiter gave us a great anecdote last night about how, you know, this time last year, yeah, he was coming off a freshman All-American season, you know, catching the go-ahead, the Georgia's last offensive touchdown in the national championship game, and he came out with the same intensity and mindset that he had the year before. And so with Brock, you know, the reason he is what he is why he's out there practicing and trying to get better. He's put on a little bit of a weight. He knows that he has to improve as a blocker this year, not because of, you know, where he is as a blocker, but because of the fact that without Darnell Washington, they lose sort of that physical presence on the tight end position, and so he's going to be asked to do that a little bit more, do it a little bit better. And while that's already a tool that he has in his tool bag, you factor that in along with all the other athletic gifts that he has. I mean, it's hard to imagine him getting better, and while, yes, he could certainly be more productive for Georgia this season, you know, Brock Bowers is still just going to continue to get better and better because that's who he is mentally, and that's how he's wired to play the game of football, which is why I think he is, in my opinion, the best player in all of college football entering this upcoming season.
And, Connor, you mentioned it in today's column. Again, Connor Riley with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Another tight end coming in because Darnell Washington goes to the league. Pierce Spurlin, good Georgia name, Carl, the third, breaks his collarbone.
Okay.
So how much of an impact was he going to have? He's going to miss the rest of spring football, or is he just going to be, he would have been worked in anyway?
Yeah, he Georgia brought in two tight ends in this past class, Pierce Spurlin and Lawson Lucky. You know, not a ton of expectations for either Lucky or Spurlin this spring, given I think they're just trying to get their feet under them. You have Brock Bowers, who is the best tight end in college football, and this Georgia staff really likes what they have in Oscar Delp already, and it was going to be, I think, a big spring for him in terms of the reps and opportunities he was going to get with Darnell Washington out there. You know, maybe this opens the door a little bit more for Lawson Lucky to get a lot of snaps, but Georgia's not going to be as reliant, I think, on the two tight end sets this year that they were a season ago. And that's not to take anything away from Oscar Delp as a player. They, again, really like what he's going to be. But there just isn't another Darnell Washington out there. And so I think because of the fact that Georgia feels a little bit better about where it has its wide receiver room, because it doesn't have that same uber physical presence in Darnell Washington, the offense, because of the personnel, is going to look slightly different, and the tight end room, I think, is going to reflect that this season.
Connor, what are we looking at defensively in spring football? What positions are you paying the most attention to on the defensive side of the football?
I think the thing that's caught my eye is this outside linebacker position, and the first thing in getting a chance to see them out of practice, this position group is just a lot bigger and a lot more physical than it has been in years past, and I think that's reflected in the guys they've gone out and recruited. The problem is that they're really, really young at this position right now. Chaz Chambliss is the only guy that's seen major snaps. I think the two guys that could have potentially played a lot, you know, this spring and really benefited from it, Marvin Jones and Jalen Walker, those guys are both out with shoulder injuries. They're going to be able and ready to go come fall camp, but right now they're not out there. And so you've got a lot of guys who just have not played a lot of snaps. Darius Smith has picked up a little bit of an injury, but he was still out there at practice, just not with his position group yesterday. And then you have these three freshmen, Damon Wilson, Sam Mpemba, and Gabe Harris, who are all really talented and have a lot of upside. But this is their fourth collegiate practice, and so they're getting their feet under them and sort of learning the ropes and what it takes to be a college football player, much less one at a place as good as Georgia. I do think eventually Damon Wilson is a guy that is going to play a role for Georgia this season. How big, I think, depends on what we see from Marvin Jones and Jalen Walker. But they like what Damon Wilson brings to this table. He was a five-star prospect. It was a Georgia-Ohio State battle to land him. I think he's a guy that has a really high upside and already has, I think, the physical tools to come in. And so this spring, with him in particular, how quickly does he get up to speed and how quickly can he get to a place where maybe come around fall, he knows a little bit more what he's doing and is in a position to help this defense out?
Hey, man, maybe you don't know. Did we get a definitive word from Kirby Smart supporting Jalen Carter with all the things that have been said about him the last couple of weeks? I know that, you know, Nick Saban has been at the draft. Kirby has been at the draft. Are we going to get something like kind of a attaboy slap on the back about Jalen Carter, or is he going to distance himself?
Yeah, Kirby had some comments about Jalen when he spoke at Pro Day last week. You know, obviously he's in the process of sorting out his legal issues and what stems from that January 15th incident. As far as, you know, the football character, Kirby Smart, and not just Kirby, but his teammates have well, you know, they spoke about his football character and specifically, you know, he picked up a couple injuries early last season. And this is one thing that Kirby Smart pointed to. He could have very easily checked out and just gone on to the NFL and said, you know, I'm shutting down. I'm not really focusing on playing that. But made an effort to come back, did so in the Florida game after Georgia's bye week this year, and didn't just come back and continue to go through the motions. Played, quite frankly, I think one of the better like five or six game stretches that we've ever seen a Georgia player under Kirby Smart play, from that Florida game through really the LSU game. And so I think, you know, Kirby Smart can speak to what Jalen Carter brings to him as a football team, and obviously Jalen has some growing up to do in regards to what the events of that transpired this offseason. But Kirby Smart still feels, you know, like a pro day is in him showing up overweight for that and not being in the best shape, I think it's very different than where he was over the course of the 2022 season. And Kirby has said as much, that he would point to that and the effort that he made to help Georgia win another national championship. As for why, I think Jalen Carter is ultimately still going to end up being a top 10 pick.
I do too. Great stuff, Connor. Tell the people where they can follow you, and we look forward to counting down to G-Day.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of stuff, quarterbacks, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, the whole thing.
All right, man, great stuff. We appreciate it. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Josh Kendall writes for The Athletic. Yesterday, I told you guys, he said the Falcons were not interested in picking Carter if he was available at 8. He went on the morning shift, our morning show this morning, and said something a little different. We'll let you hear it next. Coming up, Falcon Reports on the way. We have some decisions to make, and with some quarterbacks working out today and tomorrow, by the way. We're talking about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. They are getting a lot of love, and all the coaches, or it seemed like all the GMs, were at C.J. Stroud's workout today.
David Tepper even spoke with Stroud himself, the owner of the Panthers.
Which is, again, I don't know if it's usual, unusual. Is it unusual for the wife of the owner to talk to the potential prospect?
Well,
because that's what happened.
Nick Saban's wife always talks to the guys he's about to hire, you know, on the coaching staff, apparently, to evaluate. So, I mean, everybody's got their system. I did see C.J. Stroud talking to Todd McShay today on ESPN, and did a really nice job and talking about all the things he wants. Again, guys are coached up, but, I mean, he's saying all the right things, checking all the right boxes, and talking about what he wants to do off the field, wherever he goes, what city he's going to live in. So, good stuff. He doesn't smile a lot. You and I was talking about this off the air. He always has kind of a tension. You know, I mean, I've just noticed that. Bryce Young's always smiling. You know what I mean? I know Stroud's always kind of got like someone just farted in church kind of face.
Well,
I mean, maybe he's an intense dude.
Maybe he's very serious, I was going to say. It could be. Either way.
Just, again, with all the other evaluations, I might as well throw my 2 cents worth on the body language.
Everybody's evaluating everything, Mike. His eyebrows don't match. I mean, everything is being looked at.
Do you think there's still a general manager or personnel department? I was joking around with this, you and Chris, earlier, that does like the money ball breakdown that goes, I don't know about that guy. He's got an ugly girlfriend. No confidence. Remember they had the scene where Brad Pitt's basically telling guys we're going to start using sabermetrics and we're going to basically scrap the old ways, which are ridiculous. You guys can't quantify anything. And they're talking about a prospect. And the guy's like, I don't know about that guy. Ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence. And Brad Pitt's basically rolling his eyes.
I don't know what matters to some of these general managers. First of all, if you can play. Secondly, if it matters, Mike, that you take some of the things that we might take for granted as fans, and you put that into your evaluation. Listen, you know, Danny Ferry got fired.
Correct.
For reading a report about a potential player and the makeup of that
Remember
player.
Remember what Bill Polian was saying about Lamar Jackson, that pre-draft?
Of course.
You know, I mean, some of these things die hard. I think just to remind you, you know.
All right. We'll talk more about that coming up in our Falcon Report. Let's hear from Josh Kendall, because he was on the morning shift. Now, if for those of you who are going, okay, what's the big deal? Yesterday, if you missed the show, and I don't know why you would miss the show, we talked about Josh Kendall, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Falcons, and his report, okay, this is going back a few days, was basically that if Jalen Carter was available at 8, that the Falcons more than likely would not even attempt to draft him. And basically saying there were too many red flags, the legal issues and things that have been going on. So today, when asked about it on the morning shift, and we invite you to check out the new morning show from 6 until 9 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, here is what Josh Kendall, who writes for The Athletic, said.
So I wish I had used, probably instead, I wrote the word fact. I probably should have used the word idea. I don't believe the Falcons are going to take Jalen Carter. I do believe he's going to slip to 8, and I don't believe they're going to take him. I'm not reporting, though, that he is completely off their board, that they have eliminated the possibility. I'm just looking at a couple of things. First of all, the fact that prior to all the hullabaloo at the combine, there were concerns in Indianapolis, and there was some talk that he could get, you know, as far down as even 12 in the draft. Couple that with the workout last week, which was not good. Throw in, you know, Arthur Smith's sort of very public stance on the type of guys they want to bring in, and the fact that using a top 10 pick on a guy when you have any concerns about their availability and, you know, preparedness for those 17 Sundays that you're guaranteed a season, I think, for me, feels like too big a leap for this team. Now let's throw in the Eddie Goldman announcement, which they kind of snuck in. He's coming off the reserve retired list yesterday. We hear now that they may meet with Calais Campbell, who's not going to eat up a ton of snaps for you at age 37, but will eat up some. And I think that you're seeing that Atlanta build a defensive interior without the idea that they're going to plop a top 10 pick in there.
I mean, you and I were talking about the idea that, yes, everything you just said is accurate. You're adding depth. They haven't had this depth in years. You had to go back to 16 and 17 when you had Babineau and Claiborne and those kind of guys, Carl.
Yes.
And Tyson Jackson, amongst others. So that's something you got to do, because we haven't had the ability financially to do it. But I still think if you're a team that looks at him and says Jalen Carter is still a transformative piece, and maybe they're overplaying it because maybe they're sandbagging. I don't know. I just don't know how you can, if you don't have problems with the off the field stuff, if that's the only thing holding you back, the tape doesn't lie. I mean, what is it? Is it the red flags or is it the tape? What this guy accomplished? What he's able to do?
So
hullabaloo.
Yes, thank you, Josh. So Josh says he still does not believe that they're going to take him, but in his reporting, he wishes he would have used another word versus the word he used, and sometimes that happens. Fine. Because that's what was upsetting. This was fact. This was, I've talked to people, and this is not going to happen. And he's saying, listen, this is what I think, and I, from what I've understood. Either way, Mike, when you talk about why this is, we're even having this conversation, we've heard from people at Georgia. We've heard from people at the Combine who still don't believe that this is going to affect his draft status, that he's still a top 10 pick. But if the Falcons decide to pass on him, okay, and they just might. Again, this is my deal is, don't tell me you're getting the best players then, because there are probably about four other guys that won't be as good as he is and won't be a position of need, and we're going to possibly take those guys. With that said, I just believe that the maturity factor, Mike, is the reason we're hearing all this. It's not that he can't get more mature or can't grow up or won't and won't become more mature. It's just this is where he is. And if I am not ready to take that on, and I've said this, whether you've got support systems, whether you've got veterans in the locker
room. Strong culture in the locker room, right.
All that stuff matters. And if you're just going to draft him and say, well, we'll deal with it, and you know these are factors potentially, okay, that's what I think we're looking at. Would I draft him? I told you guys, in a heartbeat. Because I just think talent overwhelms. I think when you see him on Saturdays and soon-to-be Sundays, he's hard to block. And he's hard. He's a guy that's going to cause havoc, and you've got to account for him. And when you are watching a film and you say, hey, we play the Falcons on Sunday, and you tell me whatever number he's going to wear, hey, 91, we got to know where he's at. We need guys like that.
Now, two other ways of looking at this. Seattle, we spoke earlier today with Michael Sean Duggar from the Athletic out in Seattle, and he was, amongst other things, saying he didn't think they'd have that much of an issue. They're as open-minded as I think most teams, but they're also confused about everything that's happened with the red flags that he referred to. So they're kind of, you know, a team that needs certainly defense, or trying to rebuild their new Legion of Boom 2.0. A guy like Jalen Carter could be a linchpin for something like that.
Yep.
But it didn't seem like it was necessarily a slam dunk. We've always been afraid that if he did fall and a quarterback went 1, 2, 3, 4, then maybe Seattle, because they've already got a quarterback next few years, they probably snap up Jalen Carter. So then it's a moot point for us.
It's going to be interesting, guys. But we wanted to give Josh the benefit of the doubt, and I'm glad the morning shift had him on to answer that, because when it comes from they're not drafting him, that's a big statement.
Now,
and you better be right.
Yeah, and that's why. It is interesting now, but like I said, unless this is a tremendous sandbag operation, but like everything else with the Falcons, here we are at 8, and it's never easy because there's a doubt. Now, again, some doubt, more doubt for some than others. You and I are not that overwhelmed with the issues. I say go get the dude.
All right, man. We got some guy talk coming up, Mike. What do we got?
Yeah, man. Gwyneth Paltrow's having a bad week. she's out in court. Apparently plowed into somebody on a ski slope, but he's suing for everything she's got. And why you should always be aware, with public displays of affection, is the camera on you? I'll explain.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, boy, it is Dukes and Bell hitting the road tomorrow, guys. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and the Rende are going to be there as well. We'll get you geared up for earlier hoops. I believe it starts at 6:30, the coverage, right? So we're off at 6, but come on down, 2 to 6, join us at Twin Peaks, and get ready for some March Madness and drink some cold brew and enjoy the shenanigans. Don't have the overall TV numbers for last night's World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Which was amazing as Japan defeats U.S. with the unbelievable battle. If you didn't see it, everyone's by now talked about it, from Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, resulting in the U.S. unfortunately losing because they left too many dudes on base. But at least in Los Angeles and New York, it did good numbers. In California, L.A. as a whole, Orange County, Los Angeles market, apparently it got really good numbers, much better than average, than comparable to World Series numbers for that market.
I think the bigger thing for Major League Baseball and understanding, you filled the Marlins Stadium multiple nights.
Right.
you had over 900,000 people show up for these games over the course of, you know, the weeks, the couple of weeks it was going on. This was a hit.
Yeah.
Like, it worked. And
I always say, look, I know people always laugh when I say it, that venue's awesome. It can be awesome. It just takes bodies inside it to make it awesome. But to have the proximity in Miami for everyone in Latin America to be there is perfect.
I mean, for Miami, you know, again, this event was a huge hit. And then, you know, across the country, Mike, bigger baseball markets. This is what I would say about this. There are a lot of teams that don't, or a lot of fan bases that don't think their teams have a chance when baseball season starts. But Atlanta does. And New York does, and California with the Dodgers, and obviously what San Diego's doing.
Right.
There are teams where you go, okay, my stars are playing and they're participating. But, you know, for Braves fans, I said this last night, and a guy hit me back. He said, yeah, no Braves on the team. I get it. You know, but yeah. I'm going to tell you, I think after watching this, more guys are going to want to participate.
The Diaz injury is a freak thing. That's a one in a million, you know, that's just, you know, but baseball players always have the silliest injuries. And that one, unfortunately, you know, look, it's the Mets. They're screwed now losing the best closer. But would you have wanted Max Fried out there? Like, the pitching wasn't really an issue. We just couldn't hit. We left too many guys on base. Seven runners in scoring position didn't get home.
Right.
So anyway, but again, it was a classic, and we'll see what the rest of the national numbers look like when they get that. All right, speaking of from Central America, and we talked about America and Japan all the way down to South America, here's an interesting story. Remember the movie Major League, which is still one of my favorites.
Of course.
Charlie Sheen, Corbin Burnson, you know, I mean, Wesley Snipes. It makes me chuckle every time it's on. Well, there was a scene in the movie where Corbin Burnson's character, Roger Dorn, the third baseman, remember, don't give me this old
base
pit, Dorn. they win the game. I guess they're playing the Brewers, whoever they're supposed to be playing. They tie the Yankees, and they're celebrating being tied for the division. They're going to have a one-game playoff. And they're at the team hotel, and everybody's selling. They got the local news guys wearing, like, the Indian headdress and everything.
They're going
and
crazy.
In the background, you see Corbin Burnson's character getting on an elevator. He's making out with a chick, and all of a sudden, he slides into the elevator. Elevator goes up, and his wife is watching, and she's, that's obviously, it's not his wife, because she's at home watching this on television.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you remember, she eventually got revenge by hooking up with Charlie Sheen's character. Remember? She had the red dress, mini kind of thing. Well, anyway.
Wild thing!
And then, of course, I didn't know who she was. But anyway, I bring this up. There was pardon me, my Portuguese is not great, but I'll do the best I can. Brazilian football team in the city of Curitiba. It's called Atlético Paranense. Well, that's for this purpose of conversation, we'll call him AP. Okay.
Well,
anyway, there's a dude who's a big fan. Name is Manuel Macedo. And he hops on a plane. It's about an hour flight, Curitiba, to go to Sao Paulo to take on Corinthians. Corinthians, for those who don't know, that would be like the Yankees or Cowboys. It's a big brand in Brazil, big team. So tells his wife he's going with his cousin Francisco. See, the thing, when you're going to pull this stuff, never rope in somebody else, because you're guilty by association.
Yeah.
Where it gets sideways is it's a big game. It's apparently televised last year on TV Globo, which I guess would be like APC. And his wife, Beatriz, goes out for dinner with some of her friends when the game is big, apparently, in their hometown of Curitiba. So it's on the TV in the restaurant they're in with her friends. Well, I guess her husband, Manuel, probably should have checked where he was sitting, because he was just a few rows above Corinthians' bench. And when they scored a goal, the TV shot pans.
Uh-oh!
And there he is with a shapely, younger blonde. And apparently he's rather distinctive. He shaves his head. And even with the sunglasses on, she could obviously tell, that's my husband!
Yeah. Can't miss him.
He does go for goal. Goal!
So again, she realizes that's my husband, Manuel. Beatriz, remembering her husband records all of the Paranense games, returns home, and with her phone, because she didn't know how to record off, I guess, their version of a DVR.
Sure.
She basically rewinds and gets him where he's making out, and he's got his arm around this lady, and he records it. And it came in handy. The incriminating video was put into evidence in the divorce proceedings when Manuel got back from Sao Paulo. She had already taken their two children to her parents, and apparently she got half of his business, according to Gazeta do Povo in Curitiba.
What? Night.
So let's hope it was worth it. 48 hours in Sao Paulo with the shapely blonde, and you come home and your wife's now got half your stuff.
Yeah. You know what? Decisions, Mike. I mean, you got to figure out where you're sitting in this situation.
Yes.
It's the most important thing, okay?
Yes, or wear a beard, dress up like Fidel Castro. Granted, it'll make the public displays of affection a little itchy, but have photos. It's just a print story. I got this from my buddy Ricky down in Miami. Apparently, this is in the Miami Herald. It's pretty funny. But anyway, thanks for the link there, Rick. Hey, man, Gwyneth Paltrow is in court, speaking of divorce, not a divorce. She apparently, I guess a year or two ago, came plowing down a ski trail into some dude who apparently got jacked up, broke ribs, a concussion, and he's now suing Gwyneth Paltrow for $300,000 in court out there, and she apparently is countersuing him, saying that he's full of crap, and they've had, apparently, they're going to have some witnesses on there that said, he goes, man, Gwyneth Paltrow just plowed into me. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be rich. Now, again, just like the guy in Brazil, keep your mouth shut. His defense, or I guess the plaintiff, yeah, she's the defendant, the plaintiff, is in Park City, Utah. He says that he's at diminished capacity where he can't find his car in parking lots.
Well, he's forgotten everything.
Yes.
I only see dark. I don't know what you're talking about.
And now it gets even weirder. I said last year, this happened in 2016. It's now finally coming to trial out there in Park City. What was really funny is, I guess 2 days ago, she's wearing some funky frames. And people said, well, those look like Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. And if you don't know, Gwyneth Paltrow is just so pretentious and overbearing. There's been a lot of articles written about her over the years. So anyway, she's having a tough time out there in court. Mm. You and I have already talked about this. I mean, again, if I was driving home one day, and like somebody who lives on the south side, a celebrity, like if Shaq is going home or somewhere, if Shaq could be a fender bender, two miles an hour. Oh!
Oh, yeah.
I'd be writhing in pain. Give me the biggest neck brace you got when the ambulance gets up there.
Yeah, man. I mean, it happens all the time. Somebody was telling me at SoFi Stadium during the national championship game, because it was raining in the stadium, that numerous people were falling.
Slipping. We talked about it in Guy Talk, yeah.
And there are numerous lawsuits now, because it's one thing where you say it never rains in Southern California. It's another thing when one of the biggest nights, you've got a full stadium, Mike, and multiple injuries occur because people are slipping on the concourses because the rain is coming in, and people are saying, who's at fault? Was it the architecture?
Right.
Who's responsible for this?
We had buddies, you know, Johnny and King Kamehameha were out there, and they were saying, yeah, it really, I mean, I know it sounds like an ambulance chaser kind of case, but it was legitimate. It was really slippery, especially with the stairs and the concourse, the winds and the rains were coming
sideways. So my point is, some guy might have lost a beer and not been hurt, but he's like, my neck!
Hey.
My back!
Hey. Well, first thing, you got to have witnesses if you're going down. Oh!
My knee! I'm just saying. Dude, you just lost your beer. What? Yeah, but all this hurts. All this hurts.
I'd be crying like Booby Miles. My leg! Hey, by the way, speaking of hip and leg, Shaq, get better, Shaq. We didn't get to this yesterday.
Yeah.
Hip replacement. There are photos you may have seen online as Shaq looked like, well, what's going on with Shaq? This was scheduled Sunday night, so fast recovery for Shaquille O'Neal.
Big fella. Man, that's these big guys, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. All those years of running and the wear and tear. All right, coming up. We're going to get to the Falcon Report, and we got a lot to talk about. I mean, we got a lot to talk about. Did I tell you we got a lot to talk about? Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.